The Great Commission that Mary just read for us a second ago is Jesus' parting shot to his disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Go. Not stay, not hang out, not make yourself comfortable, take care of yourself, but go. Now, today's sermon is going to be a little bit different. It's a story I told 3 years ago. I'm telling it again as I rehash the series. It's a true story of one of my very best friends in the whole world who's a pastor, had a failed church, and he has allowed me to tell his story as a cautionary tale. And as we go through change requires change, we need to keep these things in mind. Obviously, we're going through a lot of changes. I was talking to the scouts just a bit ago about, you know, hey, the parking lot and the building access, and they've had to kind of navigate through all of that with us, right, guys? Girls, yeah? So it's, you know, there's a lot going on, but there's a very bright future ahead. And last week we talked about having a vision of hope that carries us through even the most difficult times. So our scripture for today is from the Gospel of Luke, and it's the sending out of the 72 disciples. This is from Luke chapter 10. Listen and hear God's word for us. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Amen. Now, the cautionary tale for today is told out of love. Again, I think it's tough for any pastor to have any sort of tough time, but to have a church that completely failed and to be willing to use that story to help the church in general along, I think is really cool of Steve. When I talked to him this week just to make sure I could tell his story again, he said, "Anything that I learned that helps your church or any church is fair game." And so Steve reminds me, and actually I read this as I was reading this week, that churches often begin with outward focus. We're told in the Great Commission to go, and churches start up because they're excited to do church in a new way and excited to bring people to faith in Jesus. But I think it's also inevitable for a church, this is what I read this week, despite how outward focused they start, at some point they start to turn inward and it starts to get off track. Steve planted a church in Powell, Ohio. Anybody know where Powell is? Any Ohioans here? Actually, you know where that is? Oh, you think so? She doesn't really know. Because I think it's like a little tiny, just outside a one-horse town kind of place, but that's where Steve was called to go. And as he went there, he and his wife had a vision of meeting people's needs with the gospel and of trying to interact with people who were sick and tired of
the same old church, just kind of done the same old way. It felt like it was very shallow. He wanted to attract jaded Christians who had maybe been turned off by church. Maybe somebody had had a bad experience and just didn't like going to church anymore. And he wanted to bring them in and kind of give them a warm, soft landing, a home. And I asked him the question. I said, you started with this outward focus, obviously, Steve. At what point did it turn inward? And he was able to quickly identify. We'll talk about that. But first, he and his family prayed about moving to Ohio. They were settled in a church. They were doing just fine. He was ministering, and he felt this yearning on his heart to go to Powell and start a church, again, for this target audience. And so they saved up everything they had. It was like their life saving. They sold the house and used all of it to help bring this dream into reality. And for about a year, they got it together, and then they moved to Powell to start River North Church. And it was hard work. It was grueling work. It cost them everything they had. But their rationale was it would be worth it if the gospel was proclaimed, and if hurting people came to find a sense of peace, if jaded people came back around to the idea that God wasn't so bad, that would be exciting. If new people were learning about Jesus, that would be all the worth it. So they found the site, developed the plan, launched a website, got a launch team together that would help them plant the church, and they went after it. And the first few Sundays weren't as huge as they had envisioned. They were still very exciting because the vision was starting to come into focus and people were on board. And people were invested in the church. They brought their friends. Steve was able to call in favors with people who could help out in children's ministry and lead the worship band and do nursery care. They were moving along. And after the first month, all of a sudden, Steve felt like the air was being let out of a balloon. There was very little to no growth, and the launch team seemed exhausted and uncommitted. So they took a step back, and they re-strategized and fixed a few of the hiccups and got the word out, and they saw a slight uptick, but it wasn't enough to really turn the church around, and people were coming to church. People who had been lost away from Christ were coming there and feeling connected, but others who had started the church with Steve started to drift away as the momentum was lost. Eventually, most of the launch team went back to their former churches, and it became difficult for Steve to justify keeping his church open with 15 or 20 members, and that's not what he had envisioned. He envisioned that people would be excited to be a part of this new ministry, this new outreach, evangelism, meeting in the community, getting to know people, getting the word out, but they weren't getting their needs met, the people who came to River North. So they checked out. They stopped coming. They stopped caring about that vision, and Steve had invested his whole life savings into it, but others hadn't. So they didn't have the investment he did. They didn't have as much to lose. So they left, they walked away, and within 6 months, not having engaged enough people to sustain the mission, River North Church closed its doors and shut down its website permanently. So there's Steve's story, and I asked him for some takeaway, and we talked about this a lot because we talk like almost every week. And I asked him for some takeaways, and he's doing ministry again. He's up in Chicago area. If you're in that area and you want to know what church it is, I'll let you know after worship. But he's doing ministry, but he still looks back at River North as a learning for him, a learning curve that he had to go through. And he had a lot of takeaways. And the first takeaway that he offered me is in the form of a question. Are you ready to work? Planting and leading River North was not easy. It was draining, actually. And it was costly, the volunteers. They had one worship service at 10 o'clock in the morning at an elementary school. So at 6 o'clock in the morning,
Steve would have to wake up, get his truck to the storage unit where his volunteers would meet him, and they'd load all the gear up for the worship service into the U-Haul, drive it to the school, have to park it in the parking lot, weave it through the school into the cafeteria where they would set up sound, lighting, projectors, lecterns, mics, everything.
Had to be set up from scratch. Chairs, coffee, donuts, you name it. If it was there, on every sign, everything that had to do with that church had to be set up by someone, and they'd spend a good 3.5 hours getting ready for church.
And it was taxing. And it required finances to sustain even the most basic ministries, like who's going to spring for the bag of coffee this week? And for once, people realized it wasn't going to be easy. And once they realized that, they started to check out.
Now, folks, Jesus tells us over and over and over again that this ministry thing, this church thing, is not going to be easy work. And if it's easy, then you're not doing it right. I mean, he says we're being sent out like lambs amongst wolves. He goes on further in Luke 10 to say, your message might not even be welcomed. You might give people the best news they've ever heard, and they'll slam the door in your face, but we don't stop doing it. Not only that, but the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So each of us who call ourselves Christians are going to have to really take up that mantle. Again, if what we're doing as a church is just coasting, then we're not doing it right, and it's not to the glory of God. True gospel ministry has always been difficult. It's always been hard work. It will be costly and uncomfortable and challenging, but that's okay because that's what we signed up for. At least, supposedly. So that's the first question is, are you ready to work? The second question is, whose needs are we meeting? Churches excel at being places where people's needs are met. We talk about it all the time. We're always asking, whose needs are we meeting? But churches that are inwardly focused become more concerned with meeting their own needs than meeting the needs of others. And that's what ended up happening at River North. People expressed their needs weren't being met. They were just being asked to serve and give all the time. And ministry was always directed at other people who weren't a part of the church, unchurched, non-Christians. And it came down to people vocalizing, I've put in all of this effort. Now, what is in it for me? Now, we don't like to hear that kind of thing said outside the church, let alone inside the church, because it's selfish, it's self-focused, it's inward-focused, it's anti-gospel. I mean, Jesus gives us a gospel of loving and serving other people. That's what we ought to be doing, not thinking about ourselves. But I also know that 99% of the churches in America struggle with being inward focused, and they think and act on that. We do that here at First Press. It's just a reality of being a church. A lot of what we do is because that's what the congregation says they want. Church leadership can get caught up with letting people dictate how church ought to be. And then you realize, and when you take a step back, shouldn't God be dictating how church ought to be? Ultimately, what Steve told me about River North's congregation is that people never bought into the idea that the church is for others. It's not for us. It's not where we get our needs met. It's where we gather to spread the gospel and meet the needs of others. So, what do you think about First Press? Are we in it for ourselves, or are we meeting the needs of those who need Jesus most? The third takeaway for Steve was that his church missed the point of the Great Commission, which is all about going out and telling people about Jesus, right? What if they already know about Jesus? How does that work? What if you have a bunch of Christian friends? What if you're in a Bible study? I'll give you a hint. It is way easier to talk to other Christians about your faith than it is to talk to non-Christians about your faith. But who needs to hear your story the most? The people who don't know the story, who don't know the good news.
River North's leadership had a vision of reaching the lost and Powell, but the congregants never really reached beyond churched people that they already knew. So the growth that River North experienced was from the market of people from other churches, even who were plugged in to other churches, and their neighbors would be like, hey, why don't you ditch your church for a Sunday and come to my church? We call that in the profession sheep stealing. Now, people move churches all the time. Many of you came from another church. We don't have any charter members left from 1880, so a few of you were born here. But you came here, you sensed something different. Whatever was going on in your life at the time, you're here. And you felt connected. But I want to tell you that our primary means of attracting people at First Press isn't to go to all the other churches and say that we're better. Or that we have more for you. You know, I don't go out to like other parts of, I don't stand outside the Baptist church, okay, on Sunday mornings and say, hey, you ought to come over here if you want to hear a good sermon or anything. I mean, come on, like, we don't do that. But that's what River North was doing. And Steve really wrestled with that. People are different places in their faith journey. Maybe you're here and it's a dry spell in your faith and you feel recharged about being here. But our job once here is the work of the kingdom. It's to tell people who don't know about Jesus. And it starts with you being willing to ask a very simple question of the people in your life. I don't know where you're at in your faith journey, but can I tell you about mine? That comes off a lot better, I find, than, did you know you're a sinner? So whose needs are we meeting? Missing the point of the Great Commission? Are you ready to work? And lastly, what drives your church? Is Steve's final takeaway from River North. Last week, I talked about how we have to employ a vision of hope that gets us beyond whatever we're experiencing in the here and now, good or bad or indifferent. But unfortunately, in reality, most churches are driven by resources, not vision. Where's our money going? How much is it going to cost? Could we do it cheaper? Do we really need this and that? What programs do we want? How many people are coming? And when we let resources drive the needs of the church, then you start to inherently protect the institution. You enact survival mode and you hope for the best. But that's not what Jesus had in mind when he sent out the 72 or when he greatly commissioned the apostles. So every church, every Christian needs to be driven by God's vision for our lives, God's vision for our life together, God's vision for First Press, and not by metrics or resources. There's a big difference between inward-focused churches and outward-focused churches. Inward-focused churches strive for comfort, and they're okay with coasting. Inward-focused churches are always focused on meeting the needs of their own and keeping them happy. Inward-focused churches want more people, but they're not really interested in where they come from, even if they came from next door. An inward-focused church is driven by the limitations of their resources, but an outward-focused church knows that growth and gospel proclamation are hard work, and more than that, the church is more than willing to get their hands dirty in the proclamation of the good news. An outward-focused church ultimately sets their own needs and wants and desires aside. And instead, out of love, says, who are we serving? What do they need? And how can we adjust our own wants and desires so that we can be focused on them and not ourselves? An outward-focused church doesn't hope for the failure of other churches to grow. But instead, it goes out into the communities it wants to serve, and they get to know the people, and they become the hands and feet of Jesus into the lives of those who need it most. And furthermore, they are willing to say what it is they believe when it's the right time to do so. And an outward-focused church is driven by the vision, that Christ imparts upon them and to them. They don't doubt it. They don't question it. They don't say, what's in it for me? And even when the going gets tough and the parking lot's a mess, they plow on through, because the vision of hope given to us by Christ is bigger than any circumstance we might face in the present. So the real question is, we're on the brink of all this work being done as our church is being transformed before our very eyes, is who do we want to be? And how are we going to be it? Amen.